baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard Podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
Fastballs that he was swinging through earlier in the season. Of course, Kyle Schwarber, a free agent option that the Jays are probably kicking tires on. Big lefty bat. Positionally, he doesn't fit great because he's defensively far below average in both the outfield and first base. However, if we talked about it on Friday on the podcast, right? Designated hitter was an area where the Blue Jays were far below average with their hitting stats. And maybe Schwarber fits in there for 80 games and plays defensively the other 80 games, kind of shuffled through the field. He could work there. Yeah. Just throwing it out there.
Absolutely. All right, this next one comes in from Brianna, who messaged me on Instagram. She said, I loved the Bull Durham review episode. I wish I could catch the rest of your movie reviews coming up this year, but I'm unable to spare $3 to support you on Patreon. I'm just strapped. How can I support you guys in other non-money-based ways? Sorry, I don't have $3 to spare. This whole COVID thing has depleted my savings. I can relate.
What a nice message to get, actually.
Yeah, no, it was really nice.
Yeah.
So no worries, Brianna. I guess some ways that, and this goes for everybody, ways you can help support the channel that don't cost a cent. If you're listening to us on iTunes, 5-star reviews are always good.
Very appreciated. Absolutely.
On YouTube, and don't listen to us in podcast form, just go subscribe to us.
Yeah. Comment helps.
Yeah. Like, comment. Even if the comment sucks and just tells us how bad we are, yes, it all helps.
It helps the algorithm. So yes.
Literally every video you watch, just drop a like and tell us we suck. Otherwise, tell a fellow Blue Jays fan that you found a cool little podcast.
Yeah.
And I mean, the selfish perk that you guys get out of doing that is the bigger our numbers are, the easier time we're going to have getting Bo Bichette.
Getting for an cool interview. Guests. Yes, right? Absolutely.
So, our numbers continue to grow. We're at around 2,600 right now. So it would be nice to hit. Do you think we can hit 3,000 subscribers by the start of the season? Or is that too ambitious?
No, I think we can.
Yeah,
a little bit of help spreading the word around. Out, yeah, right? Especially if this lockout goes on forever.
Oh, man. All right. Anyways, that's just some fun stuff there. All right. This next one comes in from Twitter. At ColdHardBrittany68.
I love it.
Great handle. Hey guys, just discovered your channel in the last couple months. I love all the interviews with the minor leaguers. I knew nothing about these guys other than their names, if even that. It's really cool to hear their stories. Who are some prospects, in your opinion, that we should keep a lookout for?
So a few good points there. Very cool the amount of time that a lot of these minor league guys have given us and have sat down and actually talked baseball with us in their careers, mm-hmm, for hours at a time. And we've actually got Chad Dallas, nicknamed Cheddar. He was the 4th round draft pick for the Toronto Blue Jays last year. He's joining us tomorrow. So we are continuing to get these guys in 2022 to come and talk some baseball with us. So very exciting stuff. I do wish to say, by the way, by no means are Adam and I scouts or experts on the guys coming up in the system. We do have a very lucky chance to sit down and talk with these guys and kind of get a mental kind of picture of where these guys are at. And most of these dudes, incredibly focused, very aware of the steps they need to take, you know. So obviously the guys that everyone has already heard about, top prospects most of you know, like stud Gabriel Moreno, 21-year-old catcher, who was just ranked by Baseball America as the number one prospect in the Blue Jays system and number 8 overall. A lot of you have heard about Aroldis Martinez, another young kid, 19. He just turned 20 recently, currently plays shortstop. He gets some time at third base. Kid is hitting for power in low A, just got promoted to Vancouver Canadiens high A at the end of last season. He was still putting up power numbers. So that's a guy to keep an eye on. Manuel Beltre, another young kid that they signed in the international draft a few years back. He's 20. He plays shortstop. He's really starting to put the bat on the ball. But guys that if we're going to talk, that you're probably going to see on this Blue Jays roster in, let's say, April, May, June of 2022, I think the most likely is to go look at the 40-man roster and the gentlemen that have been added to that recently. So guys like Zach Logue, who has been on the show, led the minor league system in strikeouts last year. He's 26. We talked about him on Friday as a dark horse guy to probably see some time in this starting rotation. Bowden Francis is another guy on the 40-man roster that very likely could see some time with this Blue Jays squad in 2022. He, of course, was acquired from the Milwaukee Brewers in that Rowdy Tellez trade that saw Bowden Francis and Trevor Richards come to the Jays. We talked to Hagen Danner recently. He's another guy who was just added to the 40-man roster. Very cool story with Hagen, too, because he was a catcher originally drafted by the Blue Jays, and then they turned him into a catcher over the pandemic year. He's throwing 100 miles an hour, ended his season with High A Vancouver, and it looks like he's probably going to start with Triple A Buffalo, is my guess. And very well could see some time in that Blue Jays bullpen as a guy who has a really good slider. And, of course, he throws 100 miles an hour. So you want that power guy. Some under-the-radar dudes that are a little lower in the system. Pitching-wise, you're going to look at Sam Roberce. Roberce, love Sam. And he's been on the show a couple times and has literally sat down with us for an hour each time we talked with him. So great young kid out of the Netherlands. He was another international signee. Spent his 2021 season split between low A Dunedin and high A Vancouver. Now, he had a 4.36 ERA over 88 and two-thirds innings between the two levels with 90 strikeouts and 38 walks, which is exactly the sort of strikeout-walk split you love to see in your pitchers. His ERA is a little high, but the thing to remember with a guy like Sam, who's only 20 years old, is that when you're in low A or even high A as a young pitcher, a lot of the times you're being given the instructions to work on your secondary stuff, which is what he was doing. So yes, even though he locates his fastball incredibly well and could probably rely on that in low A, he was working on his curveball, which was actually ranked by Baseball America as the best curveball in the entire Blue Jays system. So this is a kid to keep an eye on. We're probably going to see him start at double A for this Toronto Blue Jays organization. And then last and not least, a guy I wish to touch on is Eric Pardino. Now, this is a dude that was ranked very highly in 2019. Then he had a bunch of injury problems, arm rehab, pandemic, another injury. So he's kind of been out of sight, out of mind. But he's a guy that they did not add to the 40-man roster, probably won't get picked up, and will be put back into the Blue Jays system and could move very quickly because he's got really good stuff. And now all of a sudden, you know, he was young in 2019 and now he's 24, 25, got a little bit more experience under his belt. He's Brazilian, by the way.
Well,
yeah. Did you have anyone to add there, buddy? I know that we've talked to tons of guys.
Pretty much everyone. I did just want to add Adam Klopfenstein to the list.
Yes.
Played Vancouver last year. Kind of the same story with Sam Roberce there. Like, if you look at his stats, he had a ERA over 6 last year. But again, same thing. Working in
Vancouver. On his secondary stuff.
Just working on his secondary stuff, learning how to pitch long into games and stuff like that. So Don't be concerned.
Klopfenstein's another guy who's still just 20. He's turning 21 this offseason. Right. So when you look at guys
here, and
yeah,
it was just his mental side that really stood out to me. Like he's got it up there, and he's the number 7 prospect in the Jays organization right now. So he's still like a little bit further off, but I definitely think that's someone who you should be familiar with.
Jordan Groshans is another guy, too, that has sat down with us and talked with us and is highly ranked among the Blue Jays prospects. I think he's in at number 3 or 4 in the system currently. And he's a guy, too, that's a little bit further ahead in his development. He's still only 21 also, though. You know, like a lot of these kids in this Blue Jays system are very young. So even though we've been hearing about guys like Adam Klopfenstein and Jordan Groshans for a couple of years now, there's still youth and development that is to go into this process of them becoming a major league player, right?
Definitely. Jordan Groshans was in AA last year, probably start the season in AAA this year.
I would say so.
Depending on how he does, I mean, we could see him called up to the majors at some point in 2022.
You know what? We've mentioned so many guys, we might as well bring them up. Gunnar Hoglund is another dude. He was the first-round draft pick for the Blue Jays last year. Probably would have been drafted higher than where he was, but he was injured. Going through Tommy John surgery. So he probably won't even play in the organization until the end of the season, if at all, until 2023. But he's another guy with a ton of potential first-round draft pick. Keep an eye on.
Very deep prospect list for this Toronto Blue Jays team. So really exciting. Lots of things. The farm is still ripe.
Yes.
All right. Let's move on now to the next one here. Great message, by the way, from Cold Hard Brittany there. So thanks for that one.
Yeah.
So this one comes from SCTI in Discord. And now we're going to paraphrase their thoughts. But basically, what they were getting at was, if we assume Lourdes Gurriel Jr. Or one of the other everyday outfielders, Randall Grichuk or Teoscar, whoever, is involved in any trade that seriously moves the needle on improving this roster, I like adding Michael Conforto as a free agent signing, a lefty bat that is far better suited positionally to the needs of this roster.
That is a very interesting point. And Michael Conforto is definitely a guy to keep an eye on. And like, what was his name again? SCTI?
SCTI, yeah.
Yeah, so like SCTI said, obviously this isn't a free agent signing that makes a lot of sense if the Blue Jays are going in to the spring training with the outfield position as it is. Mm-hmm. So we would need to see, let's say, a Lourdes moved in a trade to bring in another area of need for them to even consider this. However, Michael Conforto does fit in very well with the needs of this team, which is a left-handed bat. This is a guy who had some injury problems last year, and his production wasn't quite where his career numbers were. So he had 406 at-bats last year. He was hitting .232 with a .344 on-base percentage and a slugging of .384. Slugging percentage was way down in comparison to what he normally hits. However, his walks were right where he was. Guy's got a lot of plate discipline. Kind of what Steve was saying earlier, right? This is a guy that maybe isn't necessarily a power-hitting dude. He does have some power, but this is a guy that hits the ball all over the field and has a lot of plate discipline and would probably fit in quite well in that 5-6 hole in the Blue Jays lineup. And again, being a lefty bat would split up all those right-handed hitters. And defensively, he's a great outfielder. Yep. So where would Michael Conforto fit in this lineup if the Jays were to go after him? Well, he would play left or right, depending on whichever outfield position was open. He's an interesting dude. So this is a Scott Boras client. Scott Boras, of course, had beef with the Blue Jays years ago, which seems to have settled down since the Blue Jays signed Hyun-Jin Ryu, also a Boras client. There's been a lot more talk with the Boras organization. Maybe this is something that fits. The thing with Michael Conforto is he had such a down year last year. The question is, how What would the structure of his contract look like? So the rumors are that Conforto is after 5 years. I don't know if he's going to get that after his last season. He's a 28-year-old, and maybe it works in his favor to do what Marcus Simeon did last year and take a short one-year contract with a higher average salary and rebuild his value. Would you pay Michael Conforto $18 to $20 million? I would, to see what happens there. I mean, this is a guy that I don't think he's going to put up the numbers of Simeon, obviously. But I'm just saying, if let's say he's being offered 3 years, $42 million. If the Blue Jays go in with a one-year, $18 million offer, maybe that is enticing enough for him to bet on himself and try and rebuild his value. I can't see Conforto getting 5 years, and I could be right out to lunch here.
So, okay, a couple things to address here. You mentioned having the down year this past year. Slugging percentage, .384. Outside of that, his career slugging percentage is almost .500.
Right.
The Mets offense was anemic last year. so he was not exactly protected by a high offense around him the way he would be in Toronto. Yeah, he's going to be 29 next year. This is a former first round pick. He was drafted 10th overall. So,
yeah,
you know, the...
The pedigree is there.
The pedigree is there, as they say, certainly. It could be... Maybe this is the formula the Blue Jays take, is they keep signing these guys to these Marcus Simeon type 1 year, you know, rebuild your credit score kind of a season, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't see how his numbers would not jump significantly if he played in this Toronto Blue Jays lineup.
And we'll need to see where his market's at, because I could be right out to lunch. Maybe there is a team out there who's completely prepared to pay $80 million 5 years for Michael Conforto. I just don't see it after the numbers he put up last year.
This just is this feels like a very Shapiro Atkins type
Doesn't
of player
it?
To go after.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
He does fit the lefty bat. Yeah. I don't know. It's just an unsexy name that, you know, he could knock in 90 RBIs next year. Would you be surprised by that at all?
No. Especially not on this Jays team.
That's what I mean,
You
just put him fifth or sixth and...
I mean, a lot of Jays fans were thrilled with the Marcus Simeon signing last year, but also said, you know what, it's a good thing it's only a one-year deal because they overpaid. Mm-hmm. Now it looks brilliant. So could this be another that type of scenario? Possibly. But again, it would need to take an outfielder being moved off of this Blue Jays roster to even consider it. Because it would be a pretty crowded outfield if they were to just go out and get Michael Conforto as things are.
Well, let's move on from Michael Conforto now.
Okay.
So this one also from Discord. New to Discord. Forbesy Jr., so welcome to the Discord, said, "Wow, I saw the news about Ken Rosenthal. Manfred is so soft." So Ken Rosenthal, for anybody that doesn't know, was fired from the MLB Network yesterday, I guess, or it was announced.
It was announced yesterday, anyways.
So what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think Forbesy nails it. Manfred is soft. Like, I can't believe that he was fired for criticism of Manfred. That is absolutely insane, especially considering Ken Rosenthal is one of, if not the top, baseball journalist currently working. You know, like, this is a guy who has built up his credibility over the years, never makes a mistake. I mean, unless he listens too closely to Hazel May, but never makes a mistake. You know, he's a fountain of knowledge. He's always very fair in his writing. It just seems like such a BS move for them to fire him over this. Your thoughts?
Can I take the contrarian standpoint on
sure.
this?
Sure, please.
Because when I first saw these headlines too, the headlines were basically Ken Rosenthal fired by MLB Network for criticizing Rob Manfred.
Yeah.
So I thought that, you know, in the midst of this lockout, he had written an article that was unfavorable and harsh to Manfred and then was released. It's not quite what happened, though.
No, it's not quite what happened.
I mean, he was critical of Manfred's handling of the COVID season in 2019. And I mean, now we're finding out that he had a kind of like silent 3-month suspension that summer. His contract was just up at the end of
2020. Yeah, and they didn't renew him.
They just
exactly.
didn't renew it. So it's yeah. not quite the same thing as being fired. They just
agreed.
Didn't re-up with him. On top of that, I mean, Ken Rosenthal, one of the biggest names in sports journalism.
Yeah. Right?
Not just baseball. Got to be expensive.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, Kenny is going to be fine, right? Like,
oh yeah, he's got his work with The Athletic and with Fox Sports and everything. He's gonna be yeah. just fine. But I mean, he's old. He's expensive.
Yeah,
it could just be a business move, and now it's like being made into a big controversial thing just for the headlineification of it all, because
it's almost like there's no news going on in baseball.
That's kind of how I feel. And like, I don't know. It feels like a little bit of a nothing burger when we're saying that he was fired from criticisms of Manfred. And then you go, well, the criticisms of Manfred were 18 months ago and now he's being fired. And it's like, well, no, not quite.
Yeah, there is a difference between being fired and not having your contract picked up. That is true. And there was a lot of online backlash to this. I know I've got here Marcus Stroman tweeted out, Ken, you're a legend. We go wherever you go. Sometime you outgrow those beneath you. Keep climbing and being one of the best in the game. Of course, Marcus Stroman bad-mouthing MLB. Shocking there.
Yeah, stunning events.
As C.D. Goldstein tweeted out, I just think it's funny they turned the role of commissioner into a human shield for ownership and then opted to fill it with the thinnest skinned guy around, which is kind of a funny thing. If saying that Rob Manfred is a shitty commissioner is a fireable offense, then we're about to have Great Depression level unemployment.
That is a great take, Scott. All right. Let's move on from Kenny Rosenthal here. So last bit for the mailbag here. I was DMing with Rodney on Instagram, actually, about the Ken Rosenthal thing. And he says, Ken Rosenthal's overrated. Give me Jeff Passan any day. Which, I don't know if Ken Rosenthal's overrated. I do love me some Jeff Passan.
Me too. I love Passan. He's probably my fave.
But he went on to ask us about the Hall of Fame ballot results that are going to be announced on January 25th. So big year for the Hall of Fame. Nobody made it in last year. It's the 10th and final chance for a lot of these guys from the steroid era. So he wants to know if we think anyone from the steroid era is going to get into the Hall of Fame. So here is the list of the six big names. Curt Schilling, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Sammy Sosa are all on their 10th and final shot at the Hall of Fame. And recently added this year for the first time, Alex Rodriguez and David Ortiz.
How do you feel about these steroid guys getting in general?
Well, I mean, on the one hand, cheating is bad. On the other hand,
not everyone got caught, and there are definitely steroid users in the Hall of Fame currently, without a doubt.
For sure there are. I mean, it was steroids on both sides, so what does that really say? You know, like, it almost was a level playing field at some point. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's something that I go back and forth on in my mind quite a bit.
I mean, you look at Barry Bonds' numbers, man, and like I just can't see him not being in the Hall of Fame. Like, with or without steroids, the guy is one of the greatest baseball players to ever pick up a bat.
Yeah, absolutely. It just feels like the steroid era was still like an era, right? And they were the
best
of that era. So like, let's just, who are we kidding here?
I just kind of feel like if we're going to allow some people from that era in and just be like, oh, for sure they were clean, but then the guys who got the big names that got busted, you know, we're just going to punish them. I don't know. Like, I hate that we're even needing to talk about this, because cheating is cheating, and it's awful, and it really hurt baseball all around. That said, is it, like, should we not have Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds in the Hall of Fame? It seems crazy.
Yeah, and like, I mean, it hurt baseball, but it also saved baseball. Coming back from like the lockout, and you know,
yeah,
it was down and all this stuff, right? So
that Maguire-Sosa home run battle they had, that was incredible.
It was insane. Yeah, I don't know, like I think when it comes to steroids, I think steroids should just be legal for sure. And this is where I kind of go back and forth, Scott, is that I think steroids should absolutely be legal in sports. But I also recognize that they weren't at the time, and that it was, you know, it was against the rules, right? So that's where I have a hard time, but I don't know. I could sit here for 6 minutes and stare off into the sunrise here.
Yeah, right. debating with yourself whether they should or shouldn't.
Great content, but yeah, I don't know. I would say,
You know what? I'm gonna just say it. I'm gonna throw it out there. I don't care that much. And if they decide not to let them in, whatever. You're not even going to hear me speak about it. But screw it, let them in. You know, like, let Barry Bonds in at least.
Yeah, let Barry Bonds in. I can't see Curt Schilling making it in. I mean, he only has a batting average of 151. Like, those just aren't, those just aren't Hall of Fame numbers offensively. But, yeah, no, I kid, of course. It'll be interesting, though, to see what happens. You know, I guess we're probably 3 weeks away at this point from finding out.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we'll revisit it in retrospect. But that'd be a lot of fun, so... All right, Scott, that is it for the mailbag today.
Okay, well, thank you so much to everyone who contributed in the first mailbag of 2022. We always appreciate the listenership and all the views and clicks and likes and comments. You can obviously DM us on Twitter at Walk Off Podcast, on Instagram, The Walk Off Podcast. We go and sift through all of the comments on YouTube, so please feel free to drop a comment, and... we'll see you on Friday.
See you Friday.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh, with a drive. Season cracker shows to pitch to him. Long move.
Thanks for listening.